The scripture today is Jude chapter 1, verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." And I'll turn it over to Mike.
Thank you, Phil. You know, Phil is the newest addition to the eldership here at this church. I'll have prayer in just a second, but you know this verse that Phil just read in Jude there? The devil would be pleased if he could have taken Moses' body so that Moses wasn't resurrected. He didn't want anyone to be resurrected. He doesn't want anybody now to be resurrected. He just wants us to die and be gone. By the way, when it talked about Michael there, we know that it was Jesus who was mentioned as Jesus in the book of Daniel, for instance. Revelation, other places. So with all that in mind now, let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, all we can do is ask for your presence. Ask for the Holy Spirit to be here upon all of us and that someone there watching us online or in the sanctuary here can gain a blessing from what we're going to talk about today. And so come and go with us. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, as we study the book of Deuteronomy, which we're going to look at here briefly in a few minutes, we see that it was not Moses who chose Joshua to go into the promised land, but it was God, just like God chooses each one of us to go into the promised land. Moses knew he was going into the latter stages of his life, and he wasn't going to go into the promised land, and yet he continued to do his work. And we have to admire Moses for this, to know that he, after all those years of wandering in the wilderness, that he wasn't going to go into the promised land with his people. I want to start with an illustration that took place in April the 3rd, 1968, where Martin Luther King Jr. delivered a speech to a crowded church in Memphis, Tennessee. He went to Memphis because there was a sanitation workers' strike, and they held out for more wages and better working conditions. In his speech, he called for unity, economic action, and boycotts and nonviolent protests, while also challenging the United States to live up to its ideals, and he spoke those words, that all men and all women are created equal. Well, the tone and the text of his speech sounded almost like he had a premonition about his own death. He spoke more at that time than anyone had heard him in a long time. Well, it was the final 2 minutes of his speech that remains in the collected memory of the United States here. He turned from talking about the sanitation strike to reflecting on his own life. He referenced our subject today, our main man Moses, and the promised land in Deuteronomy chapter 34. And as Mr. King turned from talking about the sanitation workers, he said, "We have some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind because, like anybody, I'd like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. For he has allowed me to go to the mountain, and I looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know that we as a people will all get to that promised land if we want to. And I'm happy tonight, and I'm not worried about anything, because mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Then he sat down. He actually collapsed because he's so exhausted from his rigorous schedule. And as I mentioned, that was April the 3rd, 1968. The next day, April the 4th, 1968, he was shot dead while on the balcony of a motel where he was staying. How terrible and despicably sad that another person would take the life of another person just because they didn't believe the same way or they didn't like the way he looked. You know, when there's a struggle to climb a mountain and finally get to look over the promised land, the desire is to get there with the people that you're with. To forget all the hard work, and now you get up to see the payoff and you share it with many others who have climbed that mountain with you. The rewards of our struggles are coming after all the pain and sorrow and exhaustion. And like Martin Luther King Jr. said that night, I might not get there with you, but that's all right because I've seen it. I've seen that promised land. He had seen it and he knew what God had called him to do. He had been obedient to the call. He was only 39 years old when he died, and to many of us here today, that's way too short. I mean, anytime someone gets killed, that's way too short. He was willing to endure even though it might cost him his life. He said, "Mine eyes have seen the glory." And when you've seen the glory of God, and when you know that he is calling you, it gives you strength to go through the things that you're going to go through in life. And so this reminds me of our friend Moses. When we look at the first five chapters of the book in the Old Testament, we know that Moses wrote those books. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 3, first of all, where Moses is actually talking to his people. By the way, I should mention, if you want to really get a bigger view of what we're talking about today, if you look at that little book, Patriarchs and Prophets, starting about page 470 and on, and it's really rewarding. So we see that Moses had suffered much, both in body and mind, in bringing the people to the borders of the Promised Land, and it was only natural for him to want to go into the Promised Land and see it established. And he pleaded with the Lord in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 24 through 28. And he said this, "O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For when God is there in heaven or on earth, who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds?" Verse 25 now. "I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon." Lebanon here is referring to the white caps of some of the higher mountains in that area. Moses desired to be there in the cool, wooded slopes of the mountains, in the land of Canaan, in contrast with the hot, dry, and dreary land that he'd been walking in all those years. By the way, they were on the east side of the Jordan right now. Canaan was on the other side. When he goes on in verse 26, as he talks to his people, he says, "But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, 'Enough of that. Speak no more to me on this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah,'" which is part of the mountain range of Mount Nebo. It's also referred to as Mount Nebo sometimes. "Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west and north and south and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before his people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you shall see." Moses was going to see it, but he was not going to be allowed to go in with his people, even after he tried to reverse the divine decision from God. But he knew he just wasn't going to go into the promised land. So Moses shared with his people and the love of his people with all that he had. He loved them so much because God had called him to love those people. We know that Moses, first and foremost, a shepherd for 40 years, learning how to shepherd and care for people. Remember in Matthew 9:26, where Jesus said that he saw the people and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And that's how Moses viewed these people that he loved so much. Not for one moment did he ever falter in his love or care for Israel, and yet he must die alone. And this is kind of sad when you think about it, because no earthly person was around him, no friends to help comfort him when he was about to die. The last time he had stood in the assembly of his people, as the Spirit of God says in Deuteronomy 33, in that beautiful language, he blessed each and every tribe of Israel, despite their faults. About a year later, he would climb Mount Nebo alone. And during that year, he finished writing what we now know as the Book of Deuteronomy. After the blessings of the tribes, he ended in verse 29 by saying, "Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? The shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places." And we know from previous studies that those high places were set up in the mountain areas, and where these people would worship their false gods. Later on, Israel took up that practice too, as we remember. Now we're going to go into chapter 34, and I want to read verses 1 through 8, because it gives the whole setting of what's going on here and what we've already talked about a little bit. "Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho to the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, 'This is the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your own eyes, but you shall not cross over there.'" Verse 5, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him there in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite Belpor, but no one knows his grave to this day." Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, and his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. One thing I learned as I was studying for this message today is that the Jewish faith is that they have a time of mourning after a death. It's called Kaddish, and you go through this mourning period, and then when the mourning time is up, you go about your regular lives. So God leads Moses up Mount Nebo, there on the east side of the Jordan, which was about 2,600 feet up, opposite of Jericho. Up on that high mountain, God gives him a view of the promised land before he dies. And we have to wonder what it was and how he felt when he saw what God was showing him. Imagine with me what Moses saw as we see him going up to that mountaintop. We see him standing tall, as he always did. And in his goodness, God opens up a panoramic view to Moses for all of time. Moses is able to look back and to look forward. He sees his own life as a prince in Egypt. Then that prince becomes a shepherd for 40 years, tending the flocks of his father-in-law Jethro. He remembers that awesome scene at the burning bush when God is calling him to go and deliver Israel. And Moses sees the mighty miracles of God for his people, and he sees the miracles he gave to this rebellious people as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Then how God gave manna. And he gave them their wishes and provided quail for them to eat. Water from a rock to quench their thirst. And at the same time made it possible that their clothing and their shoes and their sandals didn't wear out for those 40 years. In spite of all that God has done for his people, which should have only taken a few weeks to enter into the promised land, it turned out to be much longer due to their own ignorance and disobedience. So much so that only two adults named Caleb and Joshua, who came out of Egypt, were allowed to enter into that glorious promised land. Now God enlarges that panoramic view that Moses is being showed, where each part of the country is spread out before him. It is clear, it's distinct, and it's just beautiful. It was presented to Moses in its current state, but also how it was going to be when the 12 tribes entered into their territories and took possession of their own land. God had promised a land, and it seemed that was what Moses was looking at. They looked at the hills, the mountains, along with the wide open plains, where the wheat and the barley and the beautiful flowers were blowing in the soft wind. They viewed the grazing flocks on the hillsides, and Moses sees the people, his people, spread out in the land of Canaan. He views each of those tribes in their own portion of land. But sadly, Moses also sees the history of them falling away. He sees them, due to their own sins, eventually dispersed from the comfort of their own properties. The beautiful city is destroyed, and the people end up strangers in a strange land. Strangers, exiles, pilgrims, and Peter picks up on that where he said in 1 Peter 2:11, "I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which war against you." Moses then sees them all back together in the land of Israel, but now under the dominion and heavy boots of Rome. He's allowed to look down from time, and he sees the first advent of Jesus. He's amazed what he is viewing there. He sees Jesus as a baby, and he looks at the stream of time and recalled those prophetic words he had actually written, which are now in Numbers 24, verse 17, where he said, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall see him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel." And he sees the wise men viewing the star and singing glory to God in the highest. Moses sees that star guiding the men to King Herod, saying, "We have come to see the newborn king." All of this is laid out for Moses to see, even though he could not enter. He sees Jesus as carpenter. And for those early days in his life leading up to age 12, where his parents were looking for him and frantic when they said, "Where have you been?" Well, we knew he was at his father's business. He sees the ministry of Jesus, which was love and sympathy, his whole life. And Moses was amazed that among the healing and all the love, Jesus was finally rejected by a proud nation. He sees the Jews boasting about the law and then rejecting the lawgiver. And sadly, he sees Jesus on Mount of Olives, and while he is riding into Jerusalem, pauses there, rocks back and forth on that donkey and crying and weeping. And he says those terrible words in Matthew 23, verse 38, "Your house is left unto you desolate." Then the scene of the Last Supper, where those words were spoken, "One of you will betray me." And we know that Judas then got up and left. Moses saw the final rejection of the Hebrew nation, those people he had worked for and sacrificed for. He remembers wanting to lay down his own life for his people, and now here is Jesus getting ready to lay down his life. The heart of Moses was broken, and tears fell from his eyes as he senses the sorrow of Christ. He was then able to follow Christ through that vision of Gethsemane and that awful night. He beheld the agony in the garden. He beheld the mockery and the spitting and the 39 lashes. He saw the nails at the crucifixion, and he realized that just as he had raised up the serpent in the book of Numbers to save his people, now Jesus is being lifted up. Moses knew that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. and he heard Christ from the cross saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he saw Jesus laying in the tomb. He saw him, and just like Martin Luther King Jr. had said, my eyes have seen the glory. Now Moses saw Jesus coming forth from that tomb on that Sunday morning as a risen conqueror from that tomb. He saw him ascending to heaven, escorted by his glorious angels. He saw the shining gates open to receive him, the songs from the angels, and the words, welcome back to our King. Then the final scene God allowed Moses to see was that land that is fairer than day. And it's a promise that by faith we can see it as well. Like Moses, we'll see the earth remade, free from the curse of sin, and far better than the promised land that was laid out for his people. An earth where there is no more death because there is no more sin. Can you imagine no more sorrow, no more parting from our loved ones? The earthly wanderings will be over, and the spiritual Israel of God is at last entered into that real promised land. All of the earthly trials are over, along with the sacrifices we have all made. And like Moses, we will see the real promised land and realize everything that we have gone through was worth it. Everything is worth it compared to the revealed glory of God. This is the land promised to us, and Martin Luther King had a vision of that when he said, I have seen the glory of God. Then as Moses' eyes rested on the future, he became like a tired warrior, and he laid down to rest. It says that Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab. God himself buried him, but he did not remain there. No one knew where he was buried, and we know from that scripture he was not in the grave forever. You know, we often talk about this in our church. When people die, they sleep. They sleep in the grave. As a matter of fact, 70 times in the Bible it talks about death as being asleep. And when God erected Moses and took him to heaven, we know that because he showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah to talk with Jesus there. The power of the grave was broken for the first time when Christ came down to give life to the dead Moses. And from this first resurrection, it's made clear that the righteous dead will live again. God shut Moses out of Canaan to teach a lesson. God expects men to be obedient to his desires and not to their own. And the servant of Moses was not forgotten up there on Mount Nebo, and God called him to an inheritance more glorious than the earthly Canaan. Like Moses, we will all enter that promised land someday. And when you think about mountains and the great mountains of the Bible, there are stories for us to remember. From Mount Ararat, Noah saw the devastation of the flood and that beautiful rainbow that promised the world would not be destroyed by a flood again. From Mount Sinai, we see Moses talking to God and receiving the Ten Commandments. Then you have that great temple built on Mount Zion where the people were reminded that God was still with them and continued to protect them from the Holy of Holies. How about the Mount of Transfiguration, which we've already talked about, where Jesus went up with Peter, James, and John, and while there, Moses and Elijah came down to give Jesus strength for what was coming. Luke 9, verse 30 and 31 kind of picks up on this when it says, and behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. They were giving Jesus strength concerning his upcoming death. Moses, what a great man. Martin Luther King Jr. What a great man. And you know why? It's because they followed Jesus. So now we bring all this down to us. These stories can lead us to our own visions about the promised land. We might not get that vision at the same time, but it's there for all of us to see. Discouragements are going to continue to come. And we might even worry about our loved ones or our children not getting there to that glorious land, but God understands and has an avenue for each one of them to take. He's in the business of saving. He wants to save us all. Moses' legacy lives on. Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy lives on. And your legacy will live on as long as you follow Jesus. Did you know that Martin Luther King had over 100,000 mourners there at his grave? 100,000 mourners. We can only wonder how many mourners each one of us will have when the angels of heaven come to remember us on that day that we're laid to rest. So remember these things. That promised land is a vision for all of us to see. And remember this as we sing our closing song now, number 633. When we all get to heaven, bow your heads with me. Well, Heavenly Father, we know that we can get there someday to that glorious land because of what Jesus has done for us. We're looking forward to Heavenly Father, but for now, help us to have that vision and help us never to lose that vision and to share it with others as we continue to walk this earth. Be with us as we finish up our journeys. In Jesus' name, amen.